All right, welcome back. We are here for the After the Five. I am joined, as always, by Anne and Carter. We're excited to be here this week. This week's news stories are some of what we think are probably some of the most exciting stories we've seen in quite a while. So we're gonna keep this really free form. I just kinda wanna see what these guys think about all the crazy crap that's happened this week. And we'll just ask questions. So let's start it off with my favorite story. I think it's awesome. The new Echo Look from Amazon. Anne. What do you think of this thing?
Well, if you couldn't tell by my pure joy and excitement in the car on an 8-hour drive yesterday when I read this story in the full detail.
Yeah, so Anne and I were in a car for 8 hours when we discovered this story.
Yeah.
And like
I was safely at home.
Yeah.
It was good. I prefer it that way.
Thankfully to him was not
that. That was good.
But she literally could not get it. She was jumping out of her seat about this. And you're actually going to buy an Alexa now, which you have always not wanted to do, right?
Yeah.
We're making big moves
here. That's a huge move.
Yes.
That was the one millennial thing I won.
Yeah. I've crossed over.
Okay. Why?
Because the 90s teen contempo casual shopping little girl in me has finally found my clueless closet. I'm so excited about this. I can't even tell you. I mean, now as a millennial mom, having the ability to have something learn and take this major step, like we'll go into the recipes later, which is another major friction point for me as a mom. But holy shit, I cannot wait for this to just arrive in my house.
What are you so excited about? Like, what's
okay,
the coolest thing? Explain the coolest
So parts. The coolest things for sure are learning my wardrobe and suggesting new outfits.
Yeah.
I mean, how many of us are sitting there trying to figure out, probably not you guys, but I have to try to figure out.
Burn.
Well, I feel like it's easier for guys. I mean, this is also nice for guys, but you guys can put a shirt on and whatever. And
I only own 4 shirts, so it really does.
Right,
help. Yeah.
Exactly. So maybe that tells us something about the market. But I think a lot of me and my friends especially will
I
be
think I would love
thrilled
it,
about it, because not only is it learning this, it's suggesting new items. It's giving you an impartial view of what looks better. And I think it's going to really learn me and, for the first time for me, provide a very valuable service to me. And that's cutting out the amount of time that I spent trying to figure out what I'm going to wear day to day.
Yeah.
And so.
So you're excited. You are pumped. You're getting on the voice train now,
Jeff,
with Amazon.
You finally gotten me.
He got you.
I don't know how, but
that's awesome.
This is amazing. I can't wait.
All right. Well, so let's, Carter,
which I'm very happy about. I am pumped that Anne is going to dive into the Alexa world.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be great.
Exciting,
I mean, I'm excited too. I think, you know, I don't have the diversity of clothes maybe many people have, but I also think that, like a lot of people, we kind of get in this rut of you have the 3 shirts and the 2 pants that you like to wear and you just stick with it. And I think, you know, obviously that's such a small little value compared to some of the big things Anne talked about what you can do, but just, you know, getting to know the different types of clothing you have and the wardrobe. But what I'd like to get your opinion on too, and I just kind of was curious, is you look at the parallel between the introduction of this functionality, which they've been talking about for a while, but then Amazon's push into the fashion world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you realize that Amazon is soon going to know every single closet of every single Prime shopper, whatever that might be, right? So you take the stereotypical data input like Stitch Fix, where you go in and sell your style. Mm-hmm. Well, let's eliminate that, and then let's have you enter unlimited data points every single morning and what they're going to be able to do with that. Now, we could talk about that for a long time, but all of a sudden now, Jeff's going to understand exactly not only what you think your style is, but what your style really is, and the stuff that they're going to be able to do with that data is insane.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating. We were actually out, and the reason we had that long road trip, Anne and I, we were at the Internet Retailers Conference out in Chicago, and to your point, Carter, one of the things that was really prevalent, we've talked about this a little, the motif has become more palpable over the last few weeks. We're in a world pretty soon where Amazon, and now Walmart is going after this too, they're going to be the online mall, right? And so to your point, they're now going to have all this data potentially.
Yep.
And these retailers that previously didn't want to put their products on Amazon,
right,
are going to have no choice.
Sure.
Right? Or something else needs to step to the fore. And maybe a retailer like a Macy's or somebody like that will eventually do that. But like, that's going to happen.
Right.
So you're right. Now they're going to have all this data. The other cool thing we talked about in the car that I love that I want to touch on too is, now they know everything in your closet, and with the trend in resale, like the ThredUps of the world and the ReReals, now they'll know what you're wearing and not wearing, like what hasn't been in your rotation, and now they can facilitate you returning that product or selling that product, mm-hmm. and they're not in that type of business at all.
Right.
So this has whole...
It's unlimited.
Whole
it's really cool.
Super cool. I can't wait to test it. All right. Anything else on that?
I think at the base level of that too, they are providing a very valuable service for their, an experience for their customers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And will continue to with the data that they
It's
have.
A universal truth, right? Like
yes.
People want to look good.
That
when
will not
they dress
change.
Their clothes. That's
people
not gonna
are
change.
Going to need that.
Yeah.
No matter
it's fascinating. All right, cool. Jet Black. That was the other thing in the news. Kind of similar, but different. Carter, I think this one's got you written all
over. Yeah,
let's
you know, in your Fast Five, you talked about just another PR push from Walmart. And, you know, I did a little piece on that earlier this week. And, you know, I just tried to figure out why it was cool. Like, I guess I'm not in the mindset of being a New York mom with a doorman, right? Like, that's probably a far distance from what I deal with day in and day out. I know, as odd as that may sound. But it's like, all right, cool, Walmart. Like, you probably had 1,000 people working on this thing. You made a cool little chatbot that's been old for the last 5 years now. Like, anyone can build one of those.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You hooked up to an e-commerce engine, which you already had, and then you made a fancy little website and video about it. Like, I'm just curious the amount of time and effort and money that they put into making this come to life. Mm-hmm. And is it really part of a larger roadmap, do you think? Or is it really just simply, as you mentioned in Fast Five, a PR stunt that is going to get them some headlines for the next couple of weeks?
That's a great question. Yeah, because the way they put store number 8 out there is just it's standalone businesses that are just meant to stand alone, right?
Sure.
And so, like, to your point, like, how does this really fit into what the main objective is?
Right.
It seems different than like how Amazon would approach the things within their flywheel. And
totally.
So really, that's a great point. I haven't thought about that.
I think it does allow Walmart to have penetration in a market, though, where Walmart is not going to be. You're not going to see a Walmart in Soho.
Right.
So
right.
It gives them access to test within this market. Mm-hmm. They're doing the whole black waitlist approach, which,
sure.
I mean, I honestly think Mark Lurie was like, this is something I might use, actually. I mean, I don't know when he's shopping or how frequently he's shopping at Walmart, but maybe
he also wears the same outfit at every trade show. But
well,
but here's a question about what you just said, though.
Yeah.
It's like you look at the demographic they're going after, and do you think the high-income New York moms are really like, you know what I could really go for right now? A Walmart.
Well, exactly.
Because like Amazon's been in that world now for 4 or 5 years.
Absolutely. But they claim to have a wait list of over thousands of people. They haven't disclosed exactly how many people are in the beta test, but they claim to have a wait list of thousands of people. And honestly, look at Amex, you know, the black card.
Yeah.
If you make something exclusive, you could get an audience, and who knows? Maybe you're finding customers that you don't think you would ever have a chance to engage with, and that's a way to potentially expand your business. Now, do I think it's going to work? Probably not. But that's an aside.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Like, that whole online mall concept, again, whoever gets the space of those exclusive brands. But again, is it going to be Walmart? I still don't buy that if I play this out over the long term.
No.
We have asked some of our friends that are out there to actually try this. So, Paige, if you're listening, we can't wait to see how it goes if you start doing it. But, it'll be interesting to see. I don't know. It's playing on that convenience, which I guess is another universal truth. But I'm with Carter. I just want to see how it works.
I think when you think about that demographic, too, they've had all of these personal services already available. You have Alfred, the personal butler service.
Right.
You have other personal TaskRabbit assistant type things who could already do this too. So even the sell that it's, you know, pulling from boutique collections within, you know, New York area stores, I don't think that's enough of a sell either. But
let me ask you this, and I'm sorry we're spending so much time on this, but like I think it's really fascinating because like who knows, right? Like we could be totally wrong.
Yeah.
We could be
totally
right. But like why is it better than voice? Like, why is it, in the long run, like, why is it better than Alexa?
I was going to bring that up. I think, you know, do we believe that there is still a barrier to entry just because it's odd to talk to a retailer? It's odd to trust on voice for e-commerce. It's odd to do that. And people would rather actually key something in with a few different types. I could maybe make that argument a few years ago. But if you look at the adoption of voice devices within the home and they're not slowing down and they're continuing to become more saturated, especially with the United States. Like, I think the time to be hesitant on voice is over.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to capitalize on that hesitancy or fear, that maybe is time past, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe a few years ago they could have got away with it. Some people still do like to type in their order. So if you like to do that, but what we always look at from a user experience standpoint is the effort put into it. So even to order diapers, let's say, and if you just say, I need diapers, that's still 17 keystrokes, whatever that might mm-hmm. be, right? Which pales in comparison or like to a simple, quick voice or just audible command.
Yeah. I mean, voice, my buddy Andy, who's really big into voice, he always says the one thing that's not great about voice right now is selection. Like, if you actually do want to look at different options, there's not a great platform for that yet, like, especially visually.
But if you
this could help, but like, you're just talking about personal service. Then you're like going the other way, right? And then you're like back in an old school business model to some degree, too. But I don't know.
Yeah.
You agree? Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, all right. That's interesting. I can't wait to see how this plays out.
Hopefully
we'll keep an eye on it. All right, this one's fun too. Gravy. So this is the, if you guys haven't seen this, Gravy is the live stream shopping app. Basically, it's kind of Deal Fever. Think of like the deal sites, but they're live stream right to your phone the same time every night. Carter's been looking at this a lot, so let's go there first again.
Yeah, I mean, HQ Trivia has been a thing that we've been following, I think, now like almost 18 months. I don't think that's right. It's been around for a while, but I mean, it's something that continues to be a really popular, you know, nightly, daily quiz, kind of everyone gets together, jumps in the live stream and does that. Now, Gravy's interesting because it takes that same concept, but yet puts it into more of a retail kind of standpoint, where you have this trigger of exclusivity and missing out, and you want to be on there to see what it is. And I think it's fascinating. I think it's putting another layer of entertainment on top of like a traditional commerce model. And I think people want to be a part of it because not only you might get a good deal, it's the thrill of the hunt that they're recreating, but yet in an online space, which I think is fun. You're seeing other companies do it too, right? Steph IQ was something we wrote about earlier this week, and you know, where they have a quiz, you know, kind of app paired with the NBA playoffs. So the second Steph Curry makes a point, the app comes live, and it enabled Under Armour to actually engage with their consumers during commercial breaks in a really fascinating way. Just another example of how they're jumping on, or how companies are jumping on this exclusivity, really looking at the mobile world and saying, how do we get people all in one place at one time with the kind of thrill?
How do you, so along that line, and then I want to hear what Ann thinks too, because she's looked at this yesterday in the car, but like, how as you play that out, Carter, I'm curious, like say if you look 5 years out, and you look at this technology, do you think it's being used more by, say, the retail side, or do you think it's actually being more used by the brand side to go direct to the consumers and bypass, you know, a lot of what traditionally has existed? Like, how do you see, or is it both? Like, how do you see that?
Well, I think it's genius for the brand side, right? I think Under Armour has a place to play within Steph Curry and the NBA playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. And they're able to reach their consumer directly through a really innovative mobile experience that people actually want to deal with. Now, the interesting part is, That same platform is open for retailers, like you talk about Gravy. And so why wouldn't they be able to? I think you're going to see both play out. I won't say that Amazon's going to come out with a quiz app tomorrow. Like, I don't think that's something that's going to happen. But I think you see these startups finding an opportunity to create a really unique experience around a traditional model like retail. And they're successful. They're taking advantage of it. They're making it happen, putting out a product that people love. And so I think everyone's at the table, and we'll see how it continues to evolve.
Well, you said that kind of yesterday. Like, it's kind of the Flash. It's like a reimagination of the Flash, though.
Yeah, it's like when Rue La La first came out, and it was awesome. It's fun. It, you know, it drives on that impulse buy. And the thing that we haven't mentioned yet is the charitable component to this, too, which I think is really key for the Gravy app versus some of what the other, the other HQ app and what they're doing with Under Armour. But I think that, you know, a significant portion of the proceeds from the sale of product for anything purchased on the Gravy app go to an organization that they're very transparent about to their customers. So I think if you didn't feel already like the impulse buy was something you were going to do, now that there's a charitable component to it also, it kind of feels like, oh, well, I mean, I'm giving money to charity I need to buy those, you know, that new home speaker or whatever it ends up being. And the discounts can be pretty significant, too. I mean, 30 to 70% off, depending on how much, how low it goes before they sell out. I think that's a pretty good reason to participate.
Well, yeah, the other thing, we talked about this in the car a little bit, too, just to touch on it for the watchers and the listeners, is it's interesting. They do their, I think they do it every night at 8:30, right? and HQ does theirs every night at 8. Mm-hmm. And it starts to make me wonder, like, what does that look like in the future, too? Like, do we get back to that place where we actually are anticipating things instead of just taking everything on demand?
Totally.
And, like, you start to say, oh, 8, we're going to do this as a family. 8:30, we're going to do this. I think people are kind of yearning for that, but we haven't found the right outlet where it makes sense just being able to do everything on demand. So there's still some psychology there that's untapped. So I think it's fat. That's cool. It's really interesting. All right, let's finish up with this. You guys have been gone for a couple weeks. And I, for the last couple of weeks, have just been out on the biggest diatribe ever about meal kits, saying how they're kind of, I don't get it. Like, the biggest meal kit is a grocery store. Like, just go shopping. What do you guys think?
I'm interested to hear Carter's perspective.
Yeah.
And I haven't been as familiar with your diatribe on it, so I don't want to bury any of your points. But I think the thing is why don't you just go shopping? For me, seems daunting and anxiety producing, right?
Okay.
Of saying, I need to go figure out what materials and ingredients, especially if I was a single guy who was stuck, wanted maybe to eat better, but yet didn't know how. And like, you're stuck in these endless aisles of endless brands and different products and different variations. It's really interesting, kind of frustrating.
Right.
So I can see where the benefit of a meal kit would come in there, because I may pay a little extra to know I'm getting something good that's already been pre-shopped, pre-put together in the exact kind of kit that
so
I'm able to just buy.
You don't know how to cook, and you don't know what ingredients you need to buy.
Even if I had done the time and looked up a recipe and wrote it all down and went to the store, that's still a really daunting experience. I mean, walking into a grocery store, it's a huge footprint. You got to navigate the world, figure out where it all is, figure out if you're going to get all the ingredients, you're going to have a ton left over, you're wasting money on it. And all of a sudden, then you do the math afterwards, and you realize that you've spent $20 on a meal that you could have bought for $6 if you would have potentially got a meal kit.
Okay.
Yeah, this would be interesting. I'm curious.
I would argue that point. First of all, have you ever used meal kits?
We did Blue Apron.
Okay.
Which I know is a little different than what you talked about.
Similar.
Yeah, and I thought it was a little expensive, but yet at the same time, I did enjoy the fact that all that was there was no waste, it was just done.
Right.
So.
Okay. So my only counter to this, I think that totally makes sense, and I think that, like, price point, when you're looking at these meal kits, it's very clear and transparent. It's, you know, $7 per person, depending on who it is that you're feeding, two people, four people, what have you. But what I think the value is in something like Mix Recipes, again, which is a platform that you find a recipe. For Blue Apron, you're still going through a list of recipes that you have to. So that part is unavoidable. So you find a recipe on Mix, and then it sends all of the items that you have to your grocery store, and you pick that up. So now I can make my decision in 1 hour instead of, you know, the week ahead, planning all my meals out, life happens. But I think the value comes in because now I have those products stocked in my cupboard. So while in your case, you may not be using, some of those products may go unused, but some things are like salt or pepper or, you know, spices, things like that. I mean, you have that spice now for a year. And if you were to repeat your recipe, I think the hard part about the meal kits is that now you have to go rebuy all that stuff that was prepackaged for you if you want to make that again.
It
doesn't arrive in those quantities. So I think that there is, there's the value of the pantry stocking that, that these new recipe things like a mix or something of that nature provide that a meal kit really doesn't.
Which I can totally see, right? Because I look at potentially a meal kit for like one or two meals a week rather than, let's say, 10 or 12 or 14.
Yep.
Right?
That makes sense.
It's just a little different, I think.
Mm-hmm. And I argue the last point I'll make is that if you're an individual, how often are you buying a meal or even a couple? Is it less expensive and more efficient time-wise for you to just do grab and go at that point? I mean, something's already made. Are you really making this masterpiece, peppercorn chicken dish?
Right.
There's a limited range, I think.
Sure.
That at some point, it's like, do I just go to Whole Foods and get what's on? I'm already in Whole Foods. Do I just grab something from their deli case, which I'm feeling like tonight and it's ready now?
Yeah.
And if you have kids, that's then a whole other complicated factor too, right? Like, are the kids going to eat like whatever, couscous and roasted vegetables, right? Which you might want to, but then you've got to still figure that out. You have the same problem, right? So all that's still there. Okay, so like kind of split on this meal kit thing. Kind of sounds like it depends on the use case that you are.
Totally.
And what it, I think it's a good nuance to how to think about the argument. Cool. All right. Well, hope you guys enjoyed this week's After the Five. I thought it was a ton of fun. We probably went a little bit longer than normal, but that's because the stories were really cool and exciting. So we'd love to hear your thoughts on Echo Look, especially on Jet Black. If any of you are out there in New York trying that out, because we are dying to see how it goes. But we hope you guys have a great weekend. We'll be back next week. As always, from all of us to all of you, be careful out there.